Yes, I came to this, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 24. I consider it a very short drinking career, and today I'm friggin' grateful for that. I came to some meetings, and I sat in the back and I didn't listen, and I was just full of fear. I had these insane, crazy ideas that were going through my head. I sat in a chair and I thought the FBI was in the room. You know, and I was sure of it that the FBI was here in this meeting. You know, and basically all that did was drive me out of the meeting, in AA meetings. It was basic fear. And it drove me out of the meeting eventually. It probably took about 3 weeks or a month. And so from there, at 24 years old, I had stopped drinking, and I just kind of got on the marijuana maintenance program and started smoking weed and snorting coke. And eventually I stopped snorting coke because I got too paranoid doing that stuff. And I smoked weed all day long. And I would go to work during the day and I would smoke weed all day. And then I would come home and I'd smoke weed at night, you know, and really nothing had changed. The only thing that changed was I wasn't having blackouts anymore. And I wasn't crashing my car or crashing your car or ending up in jail or ending up in fights. And I wasn't partying with my brother so much, you know, so that's what I did for 3 years. And then all of a sudden, two of my brothers got sober, and I watched them get sober. And it took about 3 months, but eventually I gave in. And, one day I talked to my little Irish mother. She's about 5'2", and she told me to go to Mass, you know. So it was a Saturday. I'd smoked a joint. Nothing happened, and I was getting desperate. And so that next day I went to Mass, and right after I got out of Mass and got home, I put the dog outside, I closed the blinds, I closed the doors, and made sure nobody was around the house or in the house, and I got down on my knees and asked something for help. And that night I ended up in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was a Sunday night, and it was in the winter, and it was in this hall, and it was an open speaker meeting. And that was my first day of sobriety, and immediately, within a few short days, I started hearing about this group, and not much of it was good, you know. I'll put it to you that way. I heard a lot of shit, you know. But one night I end up here. I don't know if it's my first week of sobriety or my second. It was pretty close. I came up. The meeting was at the college at the time. And I came up here with one of my brothers, and I walked out, and there certainly wasn't this many guys in the room, that's for sure. There was probably about this many guys in the room, in this little corner right over here. And I basically said to myself, I won't be going back there. But unbeknownst to me, I turned around at an AA meeting on a Saturday night, and I knew one of the guys behind me really well, Dale M. And I knew the other guy, Don. I had met him before, and I asked this guy, Don, to help me out, to be my sponsor, and he basically laid it out to me, and he also told me I would be going to that Thursday night meeting on a regular basis. So I started doing the 90-90 and asking for help and all that stuff, and I belonged to this meeting, and I belonged to an open speaker meeting. And, I was really desperate. I didn't want to drink. And I didn't know I was alcoholic. I really didn't. And I looked at these steps, too, and I said, I'm not doing four, and I'm not doing nine. So I thought. I started getting involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. And somewhere along the line, I know at one point it was 90 days of sobriety, I figured out that this was starting to work for me, you know. That I hadn't had a drink, and I hadn't had a drug, in 3 months, and that was not my. That's not how I did things. You know, I like to get hammered. I like pot, but alcohol is my drug of choice for sure. So at 90 days sobriety, I got involved in these steps with that sponsor. With this, you know, and I started reading. I started reading the doctor's opinion, the first part of the first step, and I started reading this chapter for the second. Once I had completed that first part. And honestly, I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it. I don't know how many times I read it, but I read it a lot. And I really could not comprehend very much of it, except for the jaywalker. And when I read the jaywalker, a bell went off in my head, because that's how I drank. I'd go out, I'd pick up a drink. Whether I got in trouble or not, sometimes I did. Sometimes I'd end up in jail. Sometimes I end up a fight. Sometimes I smash a car up, you know, whatever it was, you know. But the friggin' next day, I'd be going down doing the same thing. And I wake up with a horrific hangover. And, you know, the next day I'd be saying, you know, I'm not going to drink today. And at 4 o'clock, my truck found the package store, you know. So I had a physical allergy to alcohol, you know. So that's basically the first part of the step. But the second part of the step for me, you know, today I've learned a lot more about this step. And today, you know, it talks about here the peculiar mental twist that I had already acquired. And I acquired that when I crossed the line where I no longer could say no to a drink. At that point, I started having these queer mental blank spots, and no matter how hard I tried, no matter whoever I promised, or whatever good business deal or whatever was around the corner, once I had that peculiar mental twist, I was going to drink no matter what, you know. And it didn't matter what was in front of me, I was going to drink, you know. In my last 3 years of my alcohols, and it was pot instead. I just switched seats on the Titanic type of thing, you know. So for me, once I had identified that by understanding what the jaywalker did, you know, I did the same basic thing, you know. I would get fucked up, and I would get drunk, and then I would do something stupid, or I wouldn't do something stupid. And I'd wake up the next morning, and I'd be in despair, and sometimes I'd be shaken, and, you know, I would promise myself that I'm not going to do that again, you know. But, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm smoking a bone, you know. And I didn't equate alcohol and drugs, but that's what I would do. I'd smoke pot all day, and at 4 o'clock, I'd start drinking, you know. So that's the kind of thing I did, and I never really considered, you know, anything else. My brothers were doing it. The people I hung around with were doing it. And I would do friggin' stupid stuff because of that, you know. I did, breaking into houses and getting into fights and all that stupid stuff. That I would do all that. And, you know, for me, it's like I was just sitting here listening to this. And, you know, when I was... Before I got sober, I ran a plastering business, you know, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, I was a terrible businessman, but I wasn't so much a terrible businessman, I was a terrible alcoholic, because I'd be sitting in my truck, and I'd have my book and my bill heads and all that stuff, and I'd sit there and go, maybe I should make out a bill to this guy, and I'd say, maybe I should go get a drink. Which would you do? I did the same thing every time. I'd go get a drink. And I would forget about writing out the bill and getting it to him so I could get paid. You know, the idea of being in the business is to do the work and then get paid. And I couldn't figure that out because I thought it was do the work and get drunk. So I looked at that and I said, that is insane, you know. So that's a lot of that stuff was the reasons my life was very unmanageable. And what I found out for me, that my life stayed unmanageable until I started on a spiritual approach. And when the sponsor, at less than 2 weeks sober, said to me, and I want you to ask for help. And he told me, before you get on your feet in the morning, I want you to get on your knees and ask a power greater than yourself to keep me away from the first drink or the first drug for this one day. You know, the conversation we had, if I had it correctly, was he asked me if I could stop drinking for 24 hours. And I could always stop drinking and drugging for 24 hours. The next day, not so sure. But that day I could stop. So that's what I started to do. When I woke up in the morning, I got down on my knees and I asked for a power grade in myself of my own conception, not his, not yours, my own conception, to keep me away from the first drink or the first drug a day at a time. And when I started doing that, my life started becoming manageable a little bit. And the reason it started becoming manageable is because I stopped running it. I stopped running the show. Now, in those early days, it was probably maybe 1%, maybe 0.1%. You know, so the idea of these steps is to teach me how to do that, how to allow a higher power to run my life, align my will with that power greater than myself. Now, I'll give you two examples. Right before I got back to meetings, I have a friend of mine. It's actually the guy I just mentioned, Dale. It's Dale's sister. And I used to hang around with Dale's sister, Diane. We used to drink together. And I think that's the only girl that I know that could drink more than I can. That girl could drink. And I would go to her house, and her mother would say, "Take care of my daughter," and all, you know what I mean? And I'm like, "Take care of my daughter? I can't take care of myself." You know? And so, you know, Diane was going to come over and talk to me because I was being such an asshole, you know? I was just a raging alcoholic who wasn't drinking, you know? So that's the type of person I was, because my family members were getting sick of my shit, you know? Because I was an asshole, you know? Because I lived life on self-will. And the reason I did that was why my life was unmanageable. I mean, I did what I thought was best for me. And today it's different. You know, I work in a high school. I'm an IT guy. I fix computers, printers, smart boards, projectors, and all that stuff. You know, this time of year, it's the busiest time of year. I went through basically soaked and dried 3 t-shirts today because the school is so hot. But you know what? It's like I go through around that building and I have a good relationship with almost every person in that building. I would say every person in that building. I don't have a bad relationship with one person in that building. Not one. Not one person in that building has ever come up to me and called me an asshole. You know, and I don't dislike, I may disagree with some of them, but I don't dislike any of them, you know. And that's what this stuff has done for me and for my life and for the people around me, you know. And for me, it started out at 27, walking in here, come to meetings, and doing the simple stuff. Like I said, I asked for help in the morning, and I would thank that power greater than myself at night for the day of sobriety that I just received. You know, and I'd still do that same thing today. You know, I got involved in going on commitments, not only with this group, but with a speaker group, and I still do that stuff today. And I'm not 27 anymore. I'm friggin' almost 61. You know, that's what this stuff has done for me. You know, can my life still get unmanageable? Absolutely, it can definitely get unmanageable. You know. Usually when my life is unmanageable, I got some kind of resentment going. I'm in a ball of fear, something along those lines. You know, something's not going my way. I drop my work phone, I smash the screen. I'm scared to death to tell my boss. You know, something stupid like that. You know, but for me, this is work. This is a lot of work. I'm gonna tell a little story and just to show, try to show you how my life has gone. I'm 15 years sober. I've never been married before. This is 18 years ago. I start dating this lady. She's a few years younger than me. And I'm driving down the road with her in the car, and Bobby Burns' commercial comes on. And I said, hey, I know that guy. And Shaw goes, so do I. And so I go to the Big Book meeting the next Thursday night, and I say to Bobby, I said, hey, I met a friend of yours. And I tell him who she was. And he goes, she's the nicest lady I think I've ever met. And I was like, wow, dude. That was, and I didn't know that this girl knew Bobby and had helped Bobby out earlier, much earlier in raising one of his children. And, you know, it was a really unbelievable connection for me because that girl became my wife and so on and so on. And, you know, Charlene has a relationship with Bobby and Bobby's son. And, you know, that's how some of these things work out, you know. But I'd never have stuff like that, you know, and I never would have the peace of mind that I have today if I didn't come to some understanding, first of all, like it talks about in this book, that I'm not a social drinker. I don't drink socially. I probably could say that I rarely ever did, you know. I don't do things like that socially. I don't have, you know, the ability to stop when I want to, you know. So for me, I had to have a guy to help me, to show me the path, and really keep it pretty simple, and get involved in Alcoholics Anonymous and find out what that spiritual life was for me, you know. It has certainly gotten a lot bigger, and my spiritual life is pretty simple. Like I said, I still ask for help today. I pray, I meditate, and my life is pretty good. And I know when I'm fucking up. You know, I know when I'm making mistakes. It's very easy for me. If I make a mistake, it's the freaking everything's. You know, there's no question about it. I can't hide it anymore. So, you know, that's all I got tonight. I just want to say, if you're new, you're welcome here. This group can save your life, you know. There's a number of men in this room who will say, like is my experience, that I came into this meeting and the group of men that are in this meeting saved my life. And there's no doubt about that. These guys will do whatever they can for you, but it takes work on your own part. So you need to just stick your hand out first and talk to these men in this room. And it's a good way of life. It's a great way of life. It's certainly better than the alternative. Thank you.